So again, I'm reading from John Heaton's 1969 article, The Phenomenology of Eye Strain. The first section was, What is Eye Strain? And then, The Symptoms of Eye Strain. And the last track was, Precipitating Factors of Eye Strain. Now we're at the bottom of page 347 with Phenomenology of Normal Seeing. The Phenomenology of Normal Seeing. I will now turn from eye strain for a little to consider the phenomenology of normal seeing, for to understand the abnormal experience of seeing in eye strain, it is very important to have a clear baseline of normality. By phenomenology of normal seeing, I mean a confrontation with what is immediately present in our experience of seeing. So you should be able to check on my description while attending to your present experience of seeing. Normal seeing is automatic and effortless. We do not actively attend to our eyes while we see, nor do we actively, quote, will the act of seeing. If we walk in the street, seeing the pavement, houses, and passerbys, we do this perfectly automatically without attending to our eyes. This goes on continuously throughout the course of our ongoing living. Even if we look at something carefully, scrutinizing every millimeter of its surface, we attend to the object we are looking at and not to our eyes. So what is our relation to our eyes while we are seeing? It is a commonplace in phenomenology that every perception of an object, in every perception of an object, the body is always co-perceived or felt along with it. But this co-perception of our body is of a different order from that of the external object that is perceived. This can be illustrated in the case of the eyes by looking at them in the mirror. We look at the eyes in the mirror as they are external objects, but at the same time, we co-perceive the eyes that we are seeing with. A further point about this important relationship can be illustrated by quoting from Locke. It is for want of reflection that we are apt to think that our senses show us nothing but material things. Every act of sensation, when duly considered, gives us an equal view of both parts of nature, the corporeal and spiritual. For whilst I know by seeing or hearing, etc., that there is some corporeal being without me, the object of that sensation, I do more certainly know that there is some spiritual being within me that sees and hears. I read that quote from Locke again. Maybe I'll turn to the footnotes and tell you where it comes from. J. Locke, L-O-C-K-E, An Essay Concerning Human Understanding. Paragraph 5, chapter 23, and 1961. Yes. I'll read the quote again. "It is for want of reflection that we are apt to think that our senses show us nothing but material things. Every act of sensation, when duly considered, gives us an equal view of both parts of nature, the corporeal and spiritual. For whilst I know by seeing or hearing, etc., that there is some corporeal being without me, the object of that sensation, I do more certainly know that there is some spiritual being within me that sees and hears." In this passage, Locke clearly differentiates the two aspects of seeing something, what he calls the spiritual and the corporeal. But he forsakes phenomenological description when he describes the corporeal as being without me and the spiritual as being within me. For we are not primarily aware of a within and a without when we look at something. When I look at something, it is over there. I can reach out to it or point to it. It is in the same world as I am. There is no, quote, spiritual place within me. Presumably, Locke thought of it as being within his head, from which by some mysterious process my spirit reaches out to contact things in the external world. Nor, alternatively, do things outside have to penetrate any spiritual castle in my head. The eyes, therefore, are the means by which our spontaneous strivings to relate ourselves to the visual world are actualized. We live in them while they are directed towards visual objects. We see with them and can spontaneously move them, for they are ours. Next, I want briefly to consider whether our eyes are instruments for looking. Are they optical instruments? I know they are often considered to be optical instruments, as in optics, but here I am concerned with whether we experience our eyes in the way we experience an optical instrument. An instrument is what prolongs an organ. It is outside the body, even if it is inside, for it can never be directly experienced as being one's own in the way the body in its normal state can. The body, as I pointed out above, is spontaneously movable, but an instrument is not, for it has to be moved by means of the body. If one regards a body, a part of the body, as an instrument, one soon becomes involved in an endless regression. If one regards a part of the body as an instrument, one soon becomes involved in an endless regression. For one then has to answer the question as to what part of the body moves the part of the body that moves, and so on. Now we're at the top of page 349. But an instrument can, in a way, become incorporated into an organ. Consider the act of looking down a microscope at a slide. We usually look at the object on the slide, and our vision, so to speak, merely traverses the lenses of the microscope to terminate on the object on the slide. In other words, we look through the microscope at the object. And that's his example of an instrument can, in a way, become incorporated into an organ. A good example of the difference between the way we relate to an optical instrument when we are using it and to our eyes is by considering the visual symptoms of depersonalization. In this condition, the patient feels he is looking out on to the world, for he is alienated from it. He is often conscious that he has to look through his eyes, and this is abnormal, for the normal person, of course, looks with them, with his eyes. The depersonalized person is alienated from his eyes. They are foreign to him, as is much or all of the rest of his body. Therefore, he tends to use it as an instrument, whereas the normal person feels at home in his body. He is, quote, with it, and so does not use it as an instrument. So that was a section on the phenomenology of normal seeing.